Well, whether it's drought, labour shortages, or even strawberry saboteurs, there's no shortage of challenges facing Australian farmers. Despite the difficulties, the value of Australia's agricultural sector continues to rise. And today, the National Farmers Federation is launching a plan to push the value of the sector to $100 billion by 2030. That's up from around $60 billion right now. With 70% of Australia's agricultural products sent overseas, it means a big boost in exports will be required. But the federal government's shift in Middle East policy could complicate those plans. Fiona Simpson is the president of the NFF. Fiona Simpson, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Before I get to the NFF plans, can I ask you about the Prime Minister's announcement yesterday to consider moving Australia's embassy to Israeli embassy to Jerusalem? Indonesia is Australia's largest export market for live cattle. It's the world's largest Muslim country, and it's not happy at that announcement. The Trade Minister, Simon Birmingham, assured us earlier that the free trade deal with Indonesia isn't at risk. But are you as optimistic?
Well, we have also made inquiries of Minister Birmingham's office and the Prime Minister's office. And we have also been assured that our Indonesian deal is not at risk. And we would be hopeful, and we would expect, in fact, that the government would take into account any ramifications on any of our deals and our trade relationships as they make these decisions. So at the moment, the government is considering this move. Certainly, we've been in contact with all the people that we normally talk to, Fran, to make sure that they understand that some of our most important trading partners could think differently about this move, and that obviously that's the job of government. Government needs to consider this. We've made sure that they are thinking of the things that we're thinking of as well.
Well, Barnaby Joyce said it out loud. He said there'd have to be concerns about the Kuwaitis, the Qataris, the Saudis, the Jordanians, the Bahrainis. Are you concerned about consequences for Australian farmers if these countries do reduce their imports from Australia?
Well, we certainly don't want any decision made that is going to have an effect on our very, very important trade relationships with some of these very, very, very important countries to us. So the government needs to make the best decisions in the interests of the country. Certainly from an agricultural point of view, we have some strong relationships with trading partners, and it's the government's job to take account of all of these things. So, I think it's right that we raise these concerns. We make sure that government's aware of all the issues surrounding their decisions. And then we need to make sure that government makes the right decisions. That's what they're elected to do. And we're confident at the moment. As I say, we have spoken to Minister Birmingham's office. We've spoken to the Prime Minister's office. We've spoken to the department. We've spoken to all the people, I think, that we need to make sure we're talking to make them aware of some of our trading relationships and important trading relationships that they need to take into account when they're making any of these sorts of decisions.
And just finally on this, have you spoken to some of those people in those trading relationships in other countries?
Not yet, no.
Do you plan to?
Look, that's something that I'm sure our industry partners will be doing. Right now, I'm sure there'll be a number of calls going on, sounding out, and we'll be brought into the loop when we need to be. But certainly, our job is to talk to government about industry concerns. If this is a concern, the decision, as I say, hasn't been made yet. It's certainly part of the consideration, and we have been so far assured that Indonesia has no concerns. So we need to just make sure that we don't jump at shadows. Make the relevant authorities aware of our concerns and hold them to account for their decisions.
Do you think it's a good idea to move the embassy?
Look, this is a government decision. They have to size everything up, but we don't want them to make a decision, obviously, that's going to impact adversely on some of our very important trade relationships.
Okay, let's go to the NFF plan to increase the value of Australia's overall agricultural output to $100 billion by 2030. That's not a long time away. And that's $40 billion higher than the current agricultural output. How do you plan to achieve that?
Well, I think that's what this roadmap is all about, Fran. This is about industry actually taking control of its own destiny in some respects. This is about industry charting a course about how we are going to reach that $100 billion. And as well as the headline growth target, that $100 billion, we've also set industry targets for a number of issues that are very important to us in relation to sustainability, farm safety, diversity, livability, trade, innovation and investment. And we've categorised not just discuss some pillars but also some actions and some aspirations under each of those goals. And we've put metrics around those. So we hope that not only is this a vision that government can take hold of, we have no whole of government agricultural strategy, Fran. This is industry taking control, but hope also asking government to get on board and set up a strategic plan for agriculture nationally. We know how important food is. The world's population is growing. Australia's population has grown exponentially. In fact, we're much more than we thought we would be. It's important that we have a plan for this industry and our industry, which is continuing to grow despite some of the challenges facing it, and can reach its potential.
Water is obviously critical to agriculture, and we're in drought at the moment. Mm. Part of your plan calls for a 20% increase in water use efficiency for irrigated agriculture by 2030, and also halving food waste. In Australian farmers presumably are already trying to achieve optimum water efficiency. What more can be done? 20% is a big change.
20% is a big change, but we know that there's a number of things we can do in this space. The piping and capping that is still going on in the Great Artesian Basin, that program is going along very slowly, but we need to finish that program. If we look at irrigation on whether we're talking about a vegetable farm or a broad scale cropping farm, now employing the latest irrigation efficiencies can mean huge savings of water. And also in terms of technology, if we're able to get real-time information from our sensors in our paddocks, from the soil moisture sensors, from the plant sensors that we're using, and if we are able to apply not just water but also any other nutrients to the crops that we need when they need them, then again we're able to actually capture not just efficiencies in how we do things on farm, but also then ultimately, of course, capture some farm gate value, which is going to add to our total. In fact, the Research and Development Corporation's Fran, in their landmark Precision to Decision report, they actually estimated that over $20 billion could be captured if we're just able to unlock the benefits of digital connectivity on farm. That's a huge amount, obviously.
It is indeed. Do you see just new product development, completely new areas as part of this growth?
There will be new product development, and I think that research and development in terms of what we grow, how we grow it in Australia is absolutely critical as we look at any numbers of these pillars around sustainability, feeding the world, unlocking innovation. And it's how we get that research out to the farmers, how we employ that technology out in the bush. And sometimes we need to look at some of the basic deliverables in terms of connectivity to get that there.
Fiona Simpson is our guest. She's the president of the National Farmers Federation. One of the big challenges facing some farmers is finding and keeping workers at the right time of the year. Your roadmap says there needs to be a 25% increase in the available agricultural workforce by 2030, and you've got plans domestically to improve that. But what about foreign labour? Because the federal government seems to have sidelined the idea of introducing a special agricultural visa, though on Sunday the drought envoy Barnaby Joyce said it was still National Party policy. We already have a Pacific Island seasonal worker scheme. Why isn't that enough?
Yeah, I think, Fran, certainly we want to focus on domestic labour, Australians working for farms.
But do you have a view on the agricultural visa?
Yeah, absolutely we do. We've been talking to government about this for a very long time. And the reason we do have a view is that there are so many jobs out there in agriculture at the moment that are unfilled. And they're mostly in terms of seasonal work. So seasonal, what we would term unskilled, but actually, in fact, sometimes these pickers are very skilled, but in terms of the current visa system, they would be deemed to be unskilled. We just do not have that workforce ready to go short-term basis, seasonal work, remote areas from our Australian community. And we need most of the visas that we use at the moment are actually being retrofitted for agriculture. So, they've been set up afterwards to deal with the problem that agriculture has.
But why isn't the Pacific Island worker scheme enough?
Well, it actually, again, it's mostly aimed at skilled workers and it has different parameters around it. So the visa that is closest to what we would probably suit us is the seasonal worker program, which, as you know, is predominantly an aid program, which works well for both countries. But there are parameters around the seasonal worker program where one worker is required to be aligned with one farmer for a long period of time. And sometimes, you know, the way that picking works, Fran, crops come online and offline, and workers need to be able to have the flexibility to move around a region do that in a simple way.
Can I just ask you, finally, we are out of time, but just briefly, the Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, had a big swing at Coles this week over its 10 cents per litre milk levy. It says Coles says all the money raised will go to drought-affected farmers, but the Minister called it an empty media stunt. Are you concerned about this scheme?
I think dairy farmers at the moment are hurting just as much as any other farmer, but dairy is in a crisis state at the moment. We need to look proactively at everything we could do. It's important that money collected by Coles and Woolworths, for that matter, goes straight back to dairy farmers. Coles has, as I understand it, set up an administrative process to do that. Woolworths is giving it back to the processors. I would rather, actually, to be honest, that both of them put an extra 10 cents on all their products and gave that back to the farmers. But at the moment, that the administrative processes that they both have in place are, as I understand it, and they've been very, very careful about this, are giving it back to dairy farmers in drought.
Fiona Simpson, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks, Fran.
Fiona Simpson is the president of the NFF and is holding its annual conference in Canberra today and tomorrow.